There's always an objective, always a target.
The objectives and targets always came from us. Who's giving them to him now? Scary version? He is.
Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Welcome to another edition of Open Mic, folks. I'm Dr. John McGinnis. Happy to be with you this sixth day of the fifth month of the 2025th year, ADNIC, and in-house, very special guest, Mr. John Henry Eichelberger, Jr. Welcome back to Open Mic, Mr. Eichelberger.
Didn't know you knew my middle name.
Oh, yeah.
I'm impressed.
I check these things out, you know, and I have my sources. So, anyway, great to have you here. Got some stumpers coming up for you, and you better get one at least one of them right.
Okay.
One of them is teed up. So
good. I need all the help I can get with these stumpers. So.
But we'll have them for you, folks. I kind of was disappointed in the smartest audience in all talk radio last week on their performance, but yesterday they had a clean sweep, 4-for-4, and we'll see if we're still back on track today. That's coming up, folks. We got the microphone queued up for you, as always, 814-946-0435. Got the Wayback Book to check and the birthday list to go through. And John promised a story about a birthday boy from last week, Willie Nelson, right?
Right.
So we'll have that coming up as well, but the story of the past week, John, is this this storm. And by the way, a quick update. Thousands of homes in western Pennsylvania are still in the dark this morning, 1 week after the severe storms caused widespread damage across the region. Duquesne Light's reporting 23,000 customers still without service as of 2:30. I think most of the people in our area have their power back and even the internet, but that was out for days as well. Right. And there's still some people who suffered adverse consequences. I was one of them. And, of course, I'm panicking as the shingles fly off my roof last Tuesday night. I shoot you an email Wednesday morning, and an hour later we have an estimate and we've submitted a claim. And that's amazing.
Well, you know, it's the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah, but I don't think every insurance agent comes through that. Well, did you get other people that needed some help that day as well?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. And I talked to one of our companies, and they said, oh, we've had like 40 claims this morning already from wind damage. And, you know, that was a fairly small company, but they had a lot. You know, it's, you know, that's the insurance business when something like that happens. I mean, it went through that storm, as brief as it was, caused a tremendous amount of damage. It really did.
Yeah, it was some sort of particular phenomenon. I saw the word for it on WTAJ. It began with a D, but I don't remember. Mm. It was a thunderstorm that moves at 70 miles per hour. Now,
wow.
The winds can be more or less than 7, but the storm itself is moving across the state at 70 miles an hour. So it hits quick. But it hits hard, and again, there was a tremendous amount of damage. I like the reference you one of your companies. So as an independent professional, you're able to shop around and get people the best deal for whatever their liability protections need, right?
That's right. That's what we do. And we're a member of an aggregator group, the largest one in the country. So we have access to some additional companies. We represent quite a few companies ourselves, and then we have access to some other companies that we use when we need to. And then, of course, there's the open market, and I do a lot of that brokerage work. I always have. So we have access, almost unlimited access to
What does that companies. Aggregator descriptor mean?
Well, that's a term used in the insurance industry for groups that get together. They're agencies that combine their power into an organization, and we pay money into that. We have to pay to join, and then we pay monthly assessments, and they provide some services for us. They provide additional companies. They provide some expertise. I get my professional liability through them. They get a special rate because they have so many insurance agencies that get that. I get my cyber liability through them. They give us a lot of information, a lot of expertise. We had an annual meeting a few weeks ago in York, Pennsylvania, and they brought in speakers from companies and other industry leaders around the world, actually. We have access to Lloyd's of London, all sorts of things that we do that really helps us, gets us into a much better, more professional position in the industry.
You know, several questions pop in, but also what just popped into my mind was a high school day when we had career day at my high school, all right? And you had to sign up for three careers. And I know one I signed up for was aviation because I thought that'd be exciting being a pilot. And I forget what the second one was, but I had to sign up for three, and the only one that had an opening was insurance. So I'm like, oh, that's going to be dull. Well, that was the most exciting one. By far, that was the most entertaining. And I find insurance fascinating. And you just said you got cyber liability coverage for people. When did that start? Because you've been in the business, what, 2.5 decades?
Actually, I've been in 44 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I've owned my own business for 25.
Okay.
But I worked other places. And in fact,
I've been shortchanging you, right?
Well, I forgot to mention that to you. Yeah, I've heard you tell people that 2.5 decades of experience. Actually, it's almost 4.5 decades of experience. But.
Really, your first profession, then, right? Because I'm doing some math here, and you're not.
When
much
I was
over
in college,
60,
yeah. When I was in college, I got my insurance license.
Wow!
Cal Griffith, who you wouldn't know who that was, but that was before you were here. But Cal was the Republican County Chairman, and he had an insurance agency in downtown Altoona.
Okay.
It started in 1900 by his grandfather, and that's the first place I worked. I was active in Young Republicans in the county committee. And Cal said, you need to be in the insurance business. And I thought, well, I don't know if I want to do that. And he convinced me to get licensed and work part-time for them. And I went to school. And I traveled and up with people for a year, came back, got my license, did all these things, and worked at the courthouse in the Register of Wills and Recorder of Deeds office for a few years.
And eventually county commissioner for 11 and then state senator for 12 more and happily out of all that now, right?
Or right. Yeah.
You're interested though, right?
No, that's, yeah. I like insurance.
Well, again, this is a fascinating. I always find it fascinating when people start talking about insurance, although it has a reputation of being drab and terrible. I remember Woody Allen movie, was it Take the Money and Run or Bananas? One of them, but a guy gets sentenced to 3 days in a cellar with an insurance agent. And after 3 days, he comes out and the guy is like, he's been through the Nazi torture chamber. And the insurance agent is still pitching him.
I don't remember that one. That's funny.
And what about again, you guys get poked fun at, as do lawyers and dentists, but Groundhog Day, of course, there's an insurance agent and there gets socked.
Yeah.
And anyway, folks, talking with John Arkelberger. He'll be here the whole show. So if you have any questions for him on anything, whether it's insurance, politics, the local scene, whatever, he's been around. He knows his stuff. 814-946-0435. But my question was out there, cyber insurance or cyber liability. When did that start? Because that hasn't been around forever.
No,
right?
Probably the last 10 years. Okay. I don't know an exact date, but it started to kind of, it's interesting because it's still not as standardized as most coverages. So companies vary a little bit in what they cover, and definitions aren't exactly the same. Most of the insurance industry, after a while, kind of, things formulate around certain definitions, and there's more structure. So like a homeowner's policy is pretty much the same from any company. I mean, there's slight differences, but it's pretty much the same. The cyber's starting to get that way, but it's been all over the board with what companies will provide.
And even though when the coverage is pretty much homogenous across companies, the premiums can be very different, can't they?
Oh, yeah, they can.
That's where the independent professional comes in, because he can shop and get you the best deal by far.
Yeah. There's a lot of difference in companies. And a lot of companies, we've gone through a very difficult market. A lot of companies won't write insurance, or very, very particular about what they write. So you have to have a variety of companies available so that you can accommodate people and make sure they have the correct coverage.
I'm glad you found one company that wasn't too particular that they would insure me.
You have a very nice home and a nice vehicle. You're a good risk, John. You're a good, responsible person.
Wow. Oh, right. Well,
they like guys like you.
Okay. Good. Good. I hope they're making money off of me because I'm getting comfort at night when, you know, like I said, last Tuesday night when things went bad, all I had to do was send one email, and within minutes I was feeling good. You know, things are in place to fix the problem. And that's a good place to be after you've suffered a little bit of a setback. And it's my setback, of course, was tiny by comparison with what some people are doing. Trees fell on houses. Power lines came down. Some people, as we just reported, are still without power. I don't know how you bear up for 8 days without power, but some people are having to do that. All right, John, let's get to our stumpers. And this is a warm-up, and then the one I have teed up for you. And in addition, three more folks for the Smartest Audience on Talk Radio. So I saw a story about the King Charles of Merry Old England. You know, he's the new king. His mom died recently, or a couple years ago. But which number Charles is he? Because you know how they number him. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, like Henry VIII came after Henry VII, after Henry VI. So what about King Charles? What's the Roman numeral after his name?
Well, I would guess. My wife, I'm sure, would know. Charlotte is a big Anglophile. 4.
It is. Is it 4? It's 3, and that makes him the first Charles since Charles II. And you know what he's famous for?
No.
Oh, my goodness. He gave the Charter of Pennsylvania to William Penn.
Oh, yeah.
He named Pennsylvania, for heaven's sakes, and named it for Admiral Penn.
Admiral Penn, that's right.
And so there you go. Oh, boy, he didn't do good on the warm-up. Let's see how well you do on this one, all right? This is the one teed up for you, so don't get this one wrong. Please, please. Which open mic sponsor holds the record for most consecutive Winner of the Week nominations on our Winners and Weasels show Friday?
It's a toughie.
Okay.
I would have to say Complete Insurance Services.
Did you ever know that you're my hero?
Gets the approbation, admiration, adulation, as smart as I talk. Great.
That's great.
All right, folks. Now some stumpers for you, ladies and gentlemen. And you can answer these too, John, if you know. Actually, this one you might know. I'm hoping you know, but maybe not. You're a runner, and you've been in politics. So this is a stumper about a runner who got into politics. Before Alan Webb set the record for fastest mile by a high school runner in 2001, who had the 5 fastest miles for a high schooler? And this, by the way, 1954, the year of my birth, this today, May 6th, the anniversary of Roger Bannister's breaking the 4-minute mile. So a lot of history tied in here, but who had the 5 fastest miles for a high school runner before Alan Webb broke his record in 2001? He's the last American to hold the world records for the mile, held the world record once he got out of high school, and then a former Olympian and a former congressman. Mm-hmm. You got a guess there?
I can't remember his name. I had lunch with him and his wife at the Bedford Springs.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
His son is now on in political consulting.
Is he?
Yeah. His son's name's Ned.
Can't remember his name. Oh. A super nice guy, and his wife was very nice. The Pennsylvania Family Institute put together a get-together down there, and he was our speaker. And I got to sit with him at lunch.
All right, folks.
So I know who he is.
John?
A good guy. And I saw they showed us the video of him in the Olympics. And all that.
Yeah. So you can get this, folks. We'll leave it on the table. But I like this. They were asked, why did you get into running? And he answered, I couldn't do anything else. When you're cut from the church baseball team, the junior high school basketball team, and you can't make the junior high track and field team, I'd go to bed and I'd say, dear God, please help me do better at sports and let me find something I'm good at.
That's funny.
So he tried out for cross country. He'd never run 2 miles before. And then he got a letterman's jacket, and he said, I started thinking there's a girlfriend behind this jacket.
jacket.
when I was in junior high, I wrestled briefly. And, you know, they would run and do all these things. Oh, yeah. That they'd kind of beat you into the ground to get you into weight and all that stuff. And one night the wrestling coach said to me, he said, "Did you ever think of going out for track?" And I took it as a compliment. Right. Like, he must think I'm fast. In other words, you better find another sport because you're not good at wrestling, which was true.
Our football coach made it more clear. He said, "Do you ever think about the chess team?" I got the hit. All right, here's stumper number two, folks. May 6, 1946, the New York stinking Yankees became the first team in Major League Baseball history to do something that all the teams have been doing since. What was it? May 6, 1946, the Yankees did something as a team for the first time in Major League Baseball. Everybody's been doing it ever since. Think about that one. And our third stumper, who said, quote, "Government never of itself furthered any enterprise except by the speed with which it got out of its way." Who said that? His final words when he died on May 6 of 1862, "Now comes good sailing." So we got some quotations there. See if you can identify them. See if you can identify the high school runner turned congressman and luncheon guest of John Eichelberger. John doesn't know his name, but maybe you will, folks. Yeah. And then what did the New York stinking Yankees do? Oh, I had one more stumper here, another baseball stumper. Babe Ruth hit his first home run on May 6, 1915. His first home run pitching for the Boston Red Sox. He hit his final home run in May, 20 years later, 1935. Where did he hit that final home run? Where did he hit his final? And again, playing for Boston. There's a hint that might mislead. 814-946-0435. We'll be right back.
This is John Eichelberger from Complete Insurance Services in Altoona. The insurance industry is experiencing a lot of change. Premiums are increasing, and many companies are more restrictive in what they'll insure. It's more important than ever to have an independent agent with multiple companies who can find the right market at the right price for your insurance needs. Whether it's personal or business coverage, Complete Insurance Services can help. Call us at 940-1733. That's 940-1733.
Elect Mike Roach, Blair County Judge. Mike has been a courtroom lawyer for over 30 years. He is a constitutional conservative who believes judges should respect the law as written, not make law from the bench. As a local Republican leader, Mike helped elect President Trump, Senator McCormick, and Republican Attorney General Dave Sunday. We can trust him as our next Blair County judge. Mike Roach for Judge, a real conservative, the right choice.
Paid for by the Roach for Judge Committee.
Come in and try the Good Feet feeling today. Comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief at the Good Feet store. Visit the new store in Logan Town Center across from Barnes & Noble. Book your free fitting at goodfeet.com.
Thanks to the Good Feet store.
Open Mic with Dr. John McGinnis.
I love your show, man. It's great.
Better wake up because this is just the start.
Weekday mornings at 8 on Talk Radio 98.5 and 1240 WRTA.
Willie served his Uncle Sam. He left the Giants in an awful jam. But now he's back and he's Leo's joy. And Willie's still a growing boy. Say hey,
say who?
Say Willie.
Willie Mays, the great one. We had a stumper on him yesterday. Born on this date, 1931. And, of course, died last year. I think it was June, but... he lived a good long life and a great baseball player, one of the greats of all time. And we got a birthday story, but let me get to the phones first and see if these people who didn't have lunch with the former congressman. Hey, welcome to Open Mic. First name, please.
Mike.
Mike, what stumpers can you answer for us here?
I can answer the Babe Ruth stumper.
Where was his final home run? Actually, his final three on the same day. Where was that?
Forbes Field in Pittsburgh.
Yes, indeed. playing for the Boston Braves. He retired from baseball 5 days after that, only batting about 180 that year. So he knew it was time. But and one of them, I thought, was went over the right field roof, didn't it? Didn't he clobber one that was, I mean,
yes,
a historic?
It went off the roof.
Yeah.
Yep, in right field. You're correct.
Wow. Good job, Mike. You get the approbation, admiration, adulation. Smartest audience in all talk radio. Anything else?
No, thank you, John. Appreciate it. And hello, John Eichelberger. Take care.
Thank you, sir. By the way, we had all, the phones were all lit up. They all knew for sale, so maybe that was too easy. But good job there by Mike and first getting first in. So you had I had Willie Nelson mentions his birthday last week. He's still with us, right? But Toby Keith has passed on. They were doing the duet, beer for my horse and something.
Whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So I heard Toby Keith interviewed one time on the radio, and he was telling a story about how that song came about. And he had co-wrote it, and his producer decided that it would be great as a duet. And they thought Willie Nelson would be the perfect person to do this duet with. So there was a party. I don't know if it was in Hollywood, Nashville, one of these parties where there's a lot of entertainment people. And he was at Willie Nelson was coming to this party. He went to the party. And he had this whole scheme about how he was going to approach him, what he was going to say, tell him about how this was going to work and everything. So he goes up to Willie Nelson. He said, Mr. Nelson, we have a song that we've written, and we think that we'd like to do it as a duet. You'd be the perfect person to do it. And he had all these things planned. He was going to tell him about the song. And Willie interrupts him, and he says, what's the name of it? He said, Whiskey for My Men, Beer for My Horses. He said, I'll do it.
all he wanted was the name.
So he thought it was, he sounded, he said, with a name like that, it's got to be a great song. And Toby Keith said, I had all these things planned I was going to say, and I didn't have to say anything.
Yeah, just give him the title. Okay, I can do it.
So I thought that was a funny story.
It is. That is great. Toby Keith, by the way, rest his soul, but he's my youngest sister's absolute favorite. I think she went to every concert. He was within 200 miles of where she lived. I mean, and she got front row seats one time. I don't know how she pulled that off, but she was in her glory then. 814-946-0435. Welcome to Open Mic. First name?
Dave.
Dave, what do you have for us today?
The congressman, who I believe would be Jim Ryan.
Yes. Now, did you have lunch with him?
No. I did see him when I was very young at 10 relays run the mile.
Oh, yeah. I probably saw that too, but I was living in the Philadelphia area, and they used to televise the 10 relays all the time, those championships. It was, different era. I don't think they do that anymore, but go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you could just walk in and nobody, no big deal.
Yeah, he was a big name, and at the University of Kansas, I think that's when he set the world record, became the Olympian, and got a silver medal, right? He got beat out in the Olympics itself by somebody, but...
Yeah, in Mexico City, because of the altitude, and the Africans were used to the altitude, and he wasn't, but he was able to pull off a silver medal. Kip Keno, I think, was the gentleman from... I want to say Kenya, who won the gold medal at that point.
In the mile, because wasn't he a famous marathoner too, Kip Keno?
No. You're thinking of Abiba Bikila?
Yeah, right. That's who I'm thinking.
Dave knows his runners.
I don't know my I don't know my African runners. I'm sorry, Dave. But I do remember the name Kip Keno, and he was a miler, not a marathoner, you're saying, right?
Right.
I trust you there. John knows. John's a runner, and he knows you're a runner. And
Yeah. Okay. Dave's a great runner.
All right.
Yeah, Dave's a great runner.
I used to be, John.
I know. Things slow you down a bit. You've had some things that have slowed you down, but Dave has a great history of an excellent runner.
Oh, very nice. Anything else today, Dave?
Well, here's a question, John. I don't know if this is something that's actual or not. I know with the judicial race, we have, Lou Schmidt who's running for judge and moving from the House of Representatives to judge, and I know you left the House. Is this a trend that people leaving the House for other political offices, or is it just lose a sort of a solitary case?
I think it's entirely these are independent events and solitary case, as you would phrase it. I think it's fair to say, I shouldn't speak for Lou, but you can ask him this. And I think he would say, look, I can do more good on the bench in Blair County than I can in the legislature in Harrisburg, particularly since he's in the minority. I mean, you don't get any say or pull or anything in the minority. John wouldn't know that, but John Eichelberger wouldn't know that. He was always in the majority, but, it's certainly a lot more pay. It's almost double pay for a judge. So I just think he's looking for something where he can be have more impact. And I left for simply because I said three terms is enough. I promised no more than three terms when I first run. So that was my decision. I would like to have term limits for everybody, but my thing was I won't wait for everybody. I'll get out sooner. So yeah, usually I don't, except in after 2006 when a lot of people got voted out because of the pay raise thing. There are usually different reasons for people leaving.
But a lot of people do run for office. I mean, for example, was in the House and he ran for county commissioner in Montgomery, and that was a better spot for him at the time. And
then attorney general.
And then attorney general. Yeah, he's always running for something.
Yeah.
Now he's running for president.
Yeah.
But, but people, I mean, you know, some do and some don't. But it's not unusual for people. I remember somebody telling me, we were standing in the Senate chambers one time. It was one of those late night things. I don't know, budget time or something. And somebody said to me, about trying to get out of this place, you know, anything we can do to get out of this place. Like, I thought, I didn't like it, but I didn't put it at that level. But it was another member of the Senate, female, and she just was telling me, you know, that it's, you know, anything we can do to get out of this place.
But by get out, did you mean leave office entirely?
Well, either that or take another position somewhere.
I see.
And a lot of people, the travel wears them down, all that. I mean, you know how that goes. I mean, it's just running to Harrisburg all the time and back. And
well, that I would nothing compared to you. How many hundreds of thousands of miles did you put on the old truck?
The Senate districts are bigger, so you're running all the time in the Senate districts. I mean, it was, especially in central PA where the population's spread out, you know.
Hey, Dave, I'll let you go. I'm sorry to have you holding on there, but thanks very much. And I always told people the best district to represent is the 79th because, A, it's conservative, B, it's compact. I could literally walk across it on any given day. I mean, most of the compact districts are in Philadelphia or Pittsburgh, and they're not conservative.
No, that's a whole different thing.
And the 80th is definitely conservative, but try walking that in one day's time.
Down to Huntington County.
And your district was, how many counties were involved there? Because you had Fulton County, Huntington County, at least part of it, right?
Yeah, well, I had all Fulton, all Huntington. Well, it changed, it changed a couple times. But I had part of Cumberland, part of Franklin. I mean, I would go almost the whole way to Harrisburg.
Yeah, yeah, that was that's a huge district, Senate.
Long drives.
All right, folks, we've got to take a break for news. We're talking with John Eichelberger today. Phones, microphones ready for you, 814-946-0435. Let's see what stumpers we have left, because Dave knew Jim Bryan as the great runner. Mike knew Babe Ruth hit his last home run in Forbes Field. But we got two other stumpers. May 6th of 1946, the New York Stinkin' Yankees became the first Major League Baseball team in history to do something all the other teams have been doing since, including the Yankees. And who said government never of itself furthered any enterprise except by the speed with which it got out of its way? That's my sentiments. His final words on the day he died, May 6th of 1862, now comes good sailing.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Responding to President Trump's demand for tariffs on films made outside the U.S., California Governor Gavin Newsom suggests a federal film tax credit to support American production.
There are a lot of questions to how a tariff on foreign-produced films would work in practice and how a foreign-produced film would be defined, but it does highlight a reality. Many film and TV productions are moving overseas. Countries all around the world now offer tax credits as high as 35%, and this is luring productions away from the U.S.
Fox's Max Gordon. Germany was supposed to have a new leader sworn in today.
Friedrich Merz was expected to have a smooth passage to the post of Germany's next chancellor, but Merz fell six short in the parliamentary vote that would have confirmed him. It's the first time this has happened since the Second World War.
That's Fox's Jonathan Savage. About 30 pro-Palestinian protesters were arrested at the University of Washington. America's listening to Fox News.
Hi, this is John Sisto, and I'm running for judge of the Blair County Court of Common Pleas. Between the COVID policies that we dealt with in Blair County, as well as Blair County being a court that is supposed to have five judges and is now down to three, we have seen a tremendous backlog. We need to be able to streamline cases to get them resolved while focusing on the most serious cases to keep our streets safe in Blair County. Justice delayed is justice denied for all parties. Being in the courthouse on a daily basis over the last 30 years, I've developed a relationship with other attorneys, courthouse staff, and the appointed or elected officials that go to work there every day. I have the background and the credibility with those individuals to be able to approach me with ideas and with questions to provide solutions that can be implemented, which can help us address this backlog that's plaguing Blair County. I'm asking for your vote on May 20th. I am courtroom ready. This is John Sisto, and I approve this message.
Paid for by friends of John Sisto for judge.
Now, don't get suckered into the same old free phone game by Big Wireless. That comes with a lot of fine print. Plus, 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 plus. Oh, in other words, you pay more, more, more. At the end of the day, you paid for that, quote, free phone three times over. There is a better way. Pure Talk, my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company, my sponsor, my wireless company, has a much better offer. A free phone with a qualifying plan for just $35 a month, and you get a brand new Samsung Galaxy A26. Just make the switch to Pure Talk for $35 a month. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 15 gigs of data with mobile hotspot and roaming, all on America's most dependable 5G network. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now, and Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team will help you make the switch in as little as 10 minutes. Again, #250, keyword save now. Get your free Samsung Galaxy with a qualifying plan when you switch to Pure Talk, wireless by Americans for Americans.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Mattel says it plans to raise prices in the U.S. where necessary and will take steps to rely less on China for production. Mattel says it's not predicting how its business will do this year as it tries to get a handle on the impact of the global trade dispute. The Justice Department revealed in a government filing it wants Google to sell two of its ad businesses. A federal judge ruled last month that Google created a monopoly in advertising. Google plans to appeal that decision and has said it wouldn't be technically feasible to break up the unit. Reuters says China's discount retailers Shein and Temu are stepping up advertising in Europe away from the U.S., where their products are impacted by tariffs. The two companies ship merchandise directly from China. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Jimmy Cosola, invested in you.
Seems everything costs more these days. Gas, groceries, and when's the last time you checked your wireless bill? When it comes to Big Wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Switch to Consumer Cellular to get the same fast nationwide coverage without the Big Wireless bill. Plans start at just $20 a month, and now for a limited time, new customers can get their second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit a store near you, or consumercellular.com and start saving today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing, taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Here's your AccuWeather forecast. Cloudy this morning, partly sunny for the afternoon. Couple of showers, thunderstorm, and a high today, 65. Clouds and rain tonight, low 53. Cloudy for tomorrow morning, partly sunny for the afternoon. High tomorrow at 69. And then partly cloudy for tomorrow night, low 51. Clouds and a couple of showers around on Thursday, the high at 65. Clouds and rain on Friday, the high 60. For weather anytime, check out AccuWeather.com and download the free app. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Steve Williams.
WRTA Mornings with referee Rich DeLeo and Dave Shannon.
Entertaining. I listen to it every morning.
I am in love with your guys' show.
Weekday mornings 6 to 8 on Talk Radio 98.5 and 1240 WRTA.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. We'll get to the phones in just a second. See if we can answer to two of these stumpers that remain. What is it that the New York stinking Yankees did on May 6, 1946 that every baseball team has done since, including the Yankees? And who said government never of itself furthered any enterprise except by the speed with which it got out of its way? And his final words spoken May 6, 1862, now comes good sailing. Welcome to Open Mic. First name?
Kathy.
Kathy, you know these. Knock them out of the ballpark, Kathy, so to speak.
not the ballpark, no.
Okay. Well, who said now comes good sailing as his final words?
Thoreau.
Henry David Thoreau. Yes, indeed. You don't know what the Yankees did, though, on May 6, 1946, do you?
No, they could have done anything.
Okay, well, all right. They did not recruit Lynn Swann. So
it didn't have to do with Cracker Jacks either, did it?
It did not. But good job. Anything else today, Kathy?
Oh, I was just wondering, you know, the insurance industry, how badly it was affected by like the California fires there and some of these other natural disasters that kind of blew back on us.
Okay, let's have John respond to that. I'll hang up on you and take a listen on the radio, please. How bad was that? I mean, were the claims quite high and steep and impacted so much?
Yeah, they were. They were very high. It was billions of dollars, and a lot of the companies. I know I read an article about State Farm filing for some kind of emergency rate increase in California. And I don't know if they were ever granted it. It was an unusual circumstance, and the state never had anything like that before. What people don't really usually understand about the insurance industry is, too, that companies where you buy your insurance, they don't absorb that entire risk. They reinsure that risk with another company. So these companies are called reinsurance companies. And so when there's tornadoes and hurricanes and wildfires and things like that that happen around the country, and it doesn't hit us in central PA, we think, well, why did our rates go up? Well, these reinsurance companies raise rates. If they have a lot of costs involved, they have a bad year, then the rates go up, and they go up across the board. So a couple of years ago, they went up about 60%. So, you know, companies in our part of the world, even the smaller mutuals, they all have reinsurance. So when their reinsurance rates went up a lot, that caused them to increase their rates on homeowners and automobile drivers in central PA.
Yeah, I guess that the effect there is the whole dynamic of pooling. I mean, insurance companies mm-hmm. need to pool risk, and they can't, you know, if
it's a law of numbers.
You got the hurricanes that are going to hit Florida, but you can't have, you couldn't be a standalone company insuring against hurricanes in Florida. You get wiped out pretty much. So that is going to, and by it's interesting. I first learned about reinsurance. I didn't even know this was what it was. But growing up in the Philadelphia area when gambling was illegal, we had bookies. And the bookie would take bets, but he'd lay them off on other bookies because he couldn't handle, you know, if he got an unbalanced book, he'd have a problem. So if he got more bets on one side than the other, he'd lay off the ones on the more side to some other bookie. And this is a type of reinsurance, as it were.
814-946-0435.
Down to the final stumper, folks. We got May 6, 1946, the New York Yankees did something. The first Major League Baseball team ever, and everyone's done it since, and they're still doing it, come to think of it. Quick announcement, by the way. This might affect me because I got to go up to Ebensburg today. PennDOT is informing motorists that US 22 eastbound, that would be on my way back, is closed and will be closed until tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Between Route 53 Crescent Lily exit and the Summit exit. The closure and detour will allow for beam removal as part of the Route 2019 bridge project in Crescent Township, Cambria County. So keep that in mind. Eastbound 22 closed right now until at least 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. Also, some quick announcements. On Friday, folks, I won't be here, and neither were Howard Bernstein. I don't know who's here. Well, I'll find out by tomorrow, though, okay? Maybe we'll supersize the morning show, or maybe we'll go back to Joe Thomas, who is a Virginia talk show guy, really good, from central Pennsylvania. So he's has some connections here. But all I know is I won't be here for sure. Memorial Day Parade, if you're interested, contact Michael McDonough, and his email is MICMAC 42649@AOL.com. MICMAC 42649. Oh, gosh. Or snail mail them at 1720 Annapolis Drive, Altoona, 16602. Friday, Doug will be previewing or pre-recording his show with Dr. Gabe Merkin. So if you'd like to talk to Dr. Gabe live, call in between 1:30 and 2:15 on Friday afternoon, and Doug will hook you up with the eminent Dr. Gabe Merkin. He's a real doctor. He could take out your appendix. I can't, but I also am a doctor. And a shout-out to our Hats Off to Heroes folks today, Birchfield Towing, Ron Beatty Carpet Upholstery Cleaning, and Brett Cogan Electrical, as well as 33 on Mac Bar and Grill. And today they are honoring first responder Bradley Oswalt, the chief of the Bald Eagle Volunteer Fire Department. If you see Chief Oswalt today, tell him thanks for putting his life on the line and for what he's doing for all of us in central Pennsylvania. All right, John Eichelberg, I think I've got most of the announcements, and now I forget what I wanted to get back on topic. But let's start with the phone, see what they can help us with here. Welcome to Open Mic. First name?
Brian.
Brian, what did the Yankees do on May 6, 1946, the first Major League Baseball team ever?
I want to say they paid somebody over $100,000.
No, that's not a bad idea. Yeah, they are all doing that now. I think minimum salary in Major League Baseball right now is $600,000. So, yeah, they're all over $100,000. But, no, they did something else. What else on your mind, Brian?
I got a question. Now, today, or it was yesterday, the Real ID takes effect. And this is for you and John.
Okay. Tomorrow.
Now,
tomorrow, John says. He's on his game. Okay.
Okay. Well, if you're a Democrat, doesn't this disenfranchise people? They're not going to be able to fly. They're not going to be able to get on a train. They're not going to be able to get on a bus. What are we going to do? I mean, every time there's real ID or ID for voting, it's disenfranchising people. What do you guys think about this? What's your opinion on this? And I'll let you go.
Well, all right. But that sounds more like a rhetorical question than an actual question, right, John?
Right.
I mean, he has a point.
I agree. Yeah, I think that I never heard anybody compare it like that, but it's very true.
Yeah. I came up with this situation yesterday. So I'm sending in my mail-in ballot, right?
Yep.
And they say, put a stamp on it. Well, wait a minute. Well, how many minorities are not going to be able to do that and be disenfranchised? I mean, that's the same. If they can't put what year it is on it, they can't date it, they can't sign it properly, how are they going to be able to put a postage stamp on it?
I mean, that'll be the next Supreme Court case. Yeah. That's right.
It is.
Who knows? It's just ridiculous.
It is. It's just gone ridiculous. Hey, welcome to Open Mic. First name? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes. First name, sir.
Bob.
Bob, what do you got?
I got the first night game with the Yankees.
Not the first night game. That, in Major League Baseball, that was in the 30s, I think, and might be the 40s, but Minor League had a night game as early as 1934. So can't give you credit on that, but it's a good guess. Anything else,
well,
Bob?
Thank you. Yes. The fires out in California.
Yes.
When the people are trying to rebuild their homes, are they still going through all this red tape?
I don't know, but I would bet.
And regulations.
I would think. And I want to ask John this. Let me hang up on you, Bob. Let me ask you. You sparked a question I want to ask John about.
Okay.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it. States often sue corporations and businesses, right? Ed Rendell wanted to sue the gun manufacturers and hold them liable for things.
Right.
Why doesn't the insurance agents sue California's government? Because their regulations precipitated the worst aspects of those fires, right? Their environmental regulations and their refusal to do clear cuts and their just horrible environmental management. And all those billions of dollars worth of homes are gone. Why can't the insurance company recoup some of their money from, it'd be the taxpayers. So I guess it's all the same, right?
Yeah. Well, what they do is then at some point they just say, we won't do business there. Uh-huh. And they're done. And that's what's happening in Florida, not so much because of the government, but because of the weather conditions in Florida. The insurance companies have many, many, many insurance companies don't work in Florida. In New York, a lot of insurance companies won't insure people in New York State, and that's because of the government, because of the court system there. In fact, if a question we have on engineering firms, environmental firms, things like that that we insure, do you do work in New York State? And if you do, then they ask a lot of questions because they may not insure you if you do much work in New York State.
Hey, we're going to go to the phone, then we're going to break. But then I got a question for you. I really do want to get your opinion on. It's very important. So don't let me forget when we come back, okay? It's about the candidates for Superior Court and Commonwealth Court in Pennsylvania coming up because I need to know which one of them to vote for. But let me get to Earl from South Carolina. Earl, how you doing this morning?
Great. I just wanted to say don't forget that this is Nurses Week.
Oh, yes. So we got winners of the week coming up on Friday. So call it in or email it in, or I'll try to remember Nurses Week here in across America. But, hey, Earl, what did the Yankees do on May 6, 1946 that no team had done before? They all do since.
Well, since they took away the planes and the trains, they started using they flew.
What do you mean they took away the planes and trains? I didn't get that.
I meant to say buses and trains. They took that away and then they flew.
Well, no, because four of the Yankees wouldn't fly. They took the train to get to New York to St. Louis. Four of them weren't. Oh no, I'm not good up there. And it was the first commercial plane trip for a team going to an away game. So good job. You get the approbation, admiration, adulation. Smartest lines on talk radio. And thank you for all your work as a nurse, Earl. Sure appreciate it.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it. And I know your sisters were hardworking nurses, too.
Well, one of them still is. So, And she's the one that's really good. The other one, not so much. I'm sure she's not listening.
Thanks. You hope.
Thanks, Earl. I have to remember, this show is podcasted, too. So, they don't care what I'm doing. Hey, we'll be right back.
This is John Eichelberger from Complete Insurance Services in Altoona. The insurance industry is experiencing a lot of change. Premiums are increasing, and many companies are more restrictive in what they'll insure. It's more important than ever to have an independent agent with multiple companies who can find the right market at the right price for your insurance needs. Whether it's personal or business coverage, Complete Insurance Services can help. Call us at 940-1733. That's 940-1733.
Hi, I'm State Representative Scott Barger. Do you have old papers piling up in your home? It's important to dispose of them properly, particularly if they contain sensitive information like your bank account number or checking account number or social security number. Shredding documents keeps your personal information out of the hands of would-be scammers and identity thieves. So join me for a safe disposal event on Thursday, May 15th at Legion Park on North Juniata Street in Hollidaysburg. And I'm having a second shredding event on Wednesday, May 28th at my Bellwood office. Bergmeyer's Hauling will have an industrial shredder on site to slice and dice and destroy your documents. These events are free. They're from 4 p.m. until 7 p.m. each day, and they're for residents of the 80th District. No businesses, please. And while you're stopping by, please consider bringing canned goods or toiletries, which will be collected and donated to help a nonprofit organization in our community. For more information, go to repbarger.com. Hope to see you there.
WRTA Weekend with Doug Arendine.
I really enjoy your show.
I listen to you all the time.
Saturdays at 11 a.m. on Talk Radio 98.5 and 1240 WRTA.
in luck finding the names of the candidates for Superior and Commonwealth Court. Although they do know that Maria Bautista is, running for the Superior Court, and she's been on our show, did a great job. So I think I'm voting for her. I can say that. And the Commonwealth Court, John, is a candidate from Erie County who used to work as a lawyer for the Environmental Protection, what do they call Pennsylvania's EPA?
DEP.
Yeah. So he was a lawyer for them, and the other guy's making a big hay about that because you want environmentalists making decisions in the Commonwealth Court. And the other guy's name is Josh Prince. He's from Berks County. So
right.
If I'm going by county, so Maria Bautista is from Clarion County, which is central Pennsylvania, and she's going up against somebody from Chester County on the Republican primary. I don't trust those Chester County Republicans, I got to be honest, John. And then we have the guy from Erie who was a lawyer for the enforcer for the Department of Environmental Protection here in Pennsylvania, going up against Josh Prince. So I'm going to vote for Josh Prince. Does that sound logical?
It does. And I think Josh Prince was the one that was endorsed by the LifePak people from Western PA.
And what do you think of what Westmoreland County Republicans did? Because they endorsed the gal from Chester County. Hmm. And one of their members gathered signatures for Maria Bautista. Hmm. And they're kicking him out of the committee.
Wow.
Don't you think that's a bit out of bounds? Because I don't like party endorsements in the primary. Period.
Yeah, I don't either. We never did it.
The point of the party is to get behind the person selected by the people.
Right.
And
following the primary,
they try to direct things and try to that's disenfranchising voters when you're putting up one candidate and saying no to others. And
right.
So again, that's all bad. By the way, that does remind me, Chester County, where Andy Dinneman's from, and you and him are co-state chairs for the term limits project. Any update on that? We do have that essay still posted on the Open Mic webpage. That's from February 25th, I think, thereabouts. Have you heard anything more about the term limits push for congresspeople?
Yeah, there's a lot of momentum right now. We had two states so far this calendar year that came on board, passed resolutions, both chambers.
Great.
South Carolina is voting any day now. Arizona, they have it one through one chamber, voting in the other. Arizona is queued up to vote soon. So there's a lot of movement around the country. And, so for people that don't understand, there's an article, Article 5 of the Constitution provides that if Congress doesn't act and do something, the states can, by resolution, one by one, once they get to a two-thirds majority, force Congress to have a convention. And in that convention, then the states would gather and formulate a resolution that would go out to be voted on. And then
To amend the Constitution.
To amend the Constitution. If three-quarters of the states pass it, then the states then the Constitution's amendment. But the real story behind that is it's never happened that we've had a state-forced constitution the whole way. But what happens in many cases is once there's a critical mass and the Congress knows that, hey, they almost have enough, then they act.
That's the
real story. People say, well, that never happened. Well, it never happened because it never had to. Congress felt the heat, and then they acted. That happened many times.
By the way, your article helped me win an argument for once. I was talking to somebody over the weekend about term limits, and they said, well, that disenfranchises voters, takes their choice away. I said, well, then I guess you'd be okay with Trump 3.0. And they said, hey, John Eichelberg, thanks for being here. Sorry we're out of time.
Hey, thanks for having me. Always
it's
great.
It's all over, Bullwinkle.
Blair County's talking.